The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a barman came in sight, gathering winter fuel. If thou know it telling, yonder peasant, who is he, where and what his dwelling? Sighing is a goodly kens underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes' fountain. Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine when we bear thee hither. Page and monarch, forth they went together, through the rude wind's wild lament and the bitter weather. Is darker now, and the wind blows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer. Mark my footsteps, my good page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly. In his master's step he trod, where the snow lay dented. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor, shall yourselves find blessing.
Wow. I am now feeling Christmassy, and hopefully by the end of this hour you will as well. I met a guy about 4 weeks ago. He came in and we had a conversation about stories, about the Isle of Wight and so on. And I thought to myself, we've got to get this guy on the radio. So, without further ado, let's introduce him. We've got the Paul Wilson in the studio. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Ian. I like that, the Paul Wilson.
The. You've got to, well, because apparently there is another one, but I suppose there's lots of them, but
there,
you
there
are
several.
The.
Yeah, yeah, it's a rather common name. But, my full name is quite long and named after saints and all sorts of stuff that sort of, and ancestors, so. But the Paul Wilson, I'll go by that from now on. I think that'll be my professional name from now on.
Can I call you the?
Yeah, Mr. The. like Mr. T. I pity the fool. that song was recorded specifically for the show by my really good friend Gabriel Oakfield, which has, he's just got a haunting voice, and I thought the vibe of that was just beautiful. And I asked him to sing that song simply because Good King Wenceslas was really adopted by the islanders many years ago. And you know, I like to think there's this association between this and the last king of the island, King Arvold, and King Wenceslas, and you know, the good deeds. So that's the story behind that, that haunting voice of his and the wind and everything just sets the mood for what we're going to be talking about today. And today is all about, I guess, the perfect antidote for sparkles and tinsels and ho-ho-ho Christmases and spending. This is about going back to basics. It's about bringing back the magic and telling those stories that are long lost. And I'd like to start off by dropping a little bit of wisdom by someone known as Old George the Rogue. And Old George says, "I tell you this, a third of what a storyteller says is based on fact. Another is based on lore, and the last is based on whatever the wind whispers into their ears. This is what makes a yarn the truth. Don't question, just enjoy. So I say to you, listen, enjoy, take it on board, but maybe not question it too much going forward." So we're going to talk about all sorts of things, and I want to talk a little bit about what Christmas used to be like. Now, Christmas these days, it's all about rushing about. It's about spending. It's about buying and starting earlier and earlier and earlier every year, everyone keeps saying. But back in the day, if you think back, that whole spending and selling and the consumer and the commerce of it all, it was still there because it was a time of celebration, but it wasn't like it is today. Think back to what it was like. We were going into the darkest parts of the year, dark and cold, where many people, farmers, people who worked on those farms, even the people in the city, everything was coming to a close. Everything was slowing down. The days were getting shorter. And in technically, we actually, at this time of year, are never actually out of twilight. You didn't know that. The sun doesn't rise high enough to be actually say that we're fully in daylight. And they used to tell the stories. And they told the stories of the monsters and the ghosts. And they linked that to the land. Because I can tell you now that the land has memories. And all those stories are still there. They're never lost. And they told those stories in the lead up to Christmas, this shining light that was going to bring us to that point when the days grew longer and warmer and leading us into the spring. They used to call this the fallow season, the time of fallow, when everything was just quiet, everything was having its sleep. And I think the specialness of Christmas is encapsulated in that magic. And Charles Dickens said, and he put this perfectly, he said, "But I am sure that I've always thought of Christmas time, when it has come around, as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time, the only time I know of in the long calendar of the year, when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut hearts freely. And to me that rings true today." And when you hit Christmas, we all have those memories. And Christmas to me is a very important and special time, because when I think back to my own childhood, growing up, parents busying around our tiny little townhouse, readying themselves for a party, fitting more people than our house could possibly ever fit. My dad off to get ice to fill the laundry sink, to put wine and beer and whatever else in. My mother in the kitchen cooking a feast for more people than you could count. An unfeasible amount of people would sit in our house. And me and my brothers and sisters, all part of that celebration, the smells, the sounds, the sights, and the containment of that magic. I still remember being so excited that I couldn't sleep. I'd sit in my room and sit in my bed and turn around and look out the window to the house just across the alleyway. And I'd look in their window and I'd see their lights and I'd see the people there and I'd wonder, were they as excited as me? And I like to think that they were. Christmas for us, though, begins well before Christmas Day. And what that means for us is capturing that magic, and in everything that we do, we try to weave spells. And when I say spells, maybe not in the conventional sense, but storytelling. And there's a mysterious place called Hookland. Hookland is a long-lost cousin of the Isle of Wight, a county that fell off the face of England. And they have a saying in Hookland, they say, nothing is ever made up, only remembered differently. And I think we can say that about everything about this time. Nothing's made up, just remembered differently. So let's bring back that magic, the deep-seated magics that are attached to this island and attached to the people. We all have our stories, and we all got here by whatever means. Some of us born here, some of us adopted, some of us through family connections. The earth that supports us brings forth this magic at this time of year. But with that comes the ghosts and the monsters. And I'll tell you a little poem. Christmas Eve is the night for ghosts, or so the cunning folk say. Our family members from long ago leave rest and come to stay. For the nights are cold and the shadows long, and the dead just want to play. Leave them your food and drink this night, for shadows will go by fay. Their spirits not bound to the other place, the veil not black or grey. They amass outside, only peering in, waiting heads on pillow lay. And when the darkness starts to fade, and the night turns into day, those visiting spectres of loved ones past will go their dirt bed stay. And this comes from the tradition that Christmas Eve, we should always leave a plate out for our long lost loved ones, because they come and visit us in that night. And if you don't, woe betide the tricksters, woe betide the tricks they will play. So maybe when you're leaving something out for Father Christmas, maybe leave a plate for those ghosts that may be visiting you. And if you do, I can guarantee you this, they will look forward to giving you good fortune. And in the words of old George the Rogue, Christmas is a time to eat, drink, laugh and magic. We tolerate people all year round. Our friends and family come to mind. But at Christmas is a time to show them that when we stay tolerant, we actually mean love. So drink a cup for me, drink a cup for them, drink a cup for the spirits. But don't forget to drink a cup for yourself. Merry Christmas and Yuletide blessings for us all. And when old George the Rogue talks of a cup, he's talking of a very magical story, a very magical drink. And I call it a story because that drink is a story in itself. Everyone knows or has heard the old Christmas carol, "Here we come a-wassailing." But where does that come from? What is that? Well, on the island, we used to call it wassail, or wassail in some cases, spelt W-A-S-E-L-L. It was a drink of Christmas past, the precursor to mulled wine. It was steeped in magic and tradition. You can trace its roots back to a time before Christianity. Although, through most of the United Kingdom, it's called wassail. On the island, as I said, we call it wassail. To go along with this drink, there was a tradition of wassailing, of which there were two different types. The first, which was replaced by caroling in the late 19th and 20th centuries, was to go door to door and sing songs and offer a cup to the householder. The householder would repay them with a ginger tom, a type of biscuit, a beautiful, warming biscuit. And good wishes for the season, the Wahrcell bowl will be made of ornately decorated, sometimes wood, sometimes clay, or ceramics, images of the Nativity or other mythical stories. Quite a lot of the time it would have a character called Reynard the Fox. And the Wahrcellers would knock on the door and they would say, "At the door, but not beggars we, friendly neighbours Wahrcellers be." The second tradition was more magical and rooted in deep-seated beliefs that this island still holds. The farmers, the good men of the village, they would take it and they would go to the borders of the fields where they had already what is called steined. They had put the stones down, and they would bless them with this drink that was made from their own earth. It was made from the cider and the pears, the apples and the pears. And it was flavoured with local spices like meadow sweet and things that just grew here. Not your traditional, what you would think of as a Christmas traditional spice. These are ancient and magical things. And it was made by the very hands of the good men of those villages. And they would go and they would bless the bounds. They would go to the orchards and the fields and they would bless them. And then, on Christmas Eve, as the darkness came in, they would walk to the groves of elder trees and bless the elder. The elder, a sacred tree, because one of the key ingredients was elderflower wine or an elderberry wine. The elderberry wine is a thick, treacly, jammy, beautiful, magical elixir mixed and warmed with the ciders and the spices. And they would go and thank the elder tree, because the elder tree, you might not know, has the magical property of taking in all that is evil and locking it in, so those evil spirits. So never cut down an elder tree lest you let those spirits go, and particularly not at this time of year, because I can guarantee you they'll come a wassailing for you. And here starts the 12 days of Christmas. So the celebrations that we have now, and I'll go into these in a little bit more detail after the break, but the celebrations that we have now seem to the casual observer, I think, somewhat vapid, vacant. And why is that, do you think? Well, it's because we've forgotten that the true Christmas celebrations went for 12 days. They started on Christmas Day and they went to the 12th night. And the lead up to Christmas was steeped in all sorts of strange traditions. I can tell you now that the Isle of Wight had its own very special ones. Now, these are taken from the accounts of old George the Rogue, once again, whose authority one should never question, only insofar as to remember he is equal parts cunning and tricky and a full 100% rogue. Keeping this in mind, this account, like everything he says, must be always taken at face value and believed in the most romantic of ways. The accounts that this fellow has left describe a colourful and vibrant tradition that is also steeped and dipped in darkness, that only mysterious and magical places can be dipped. So I present to you, in part, and we'll follow up after the break, the celebrations that we now have lost or consumed by new traditions that seem to be less meaningful than they once were. Think of this as a small list of instructions that you can use to recreate these traditions as the darker nights gather in, and we hunker down for the dark days of winter of the fallow season. Now, back in the day, you might not believe this, and as I said earlier, alluded to, people say that Christmas starts earlier and earlier every year, but did you know the Christmas kickoff was the 11th of November, a time called Martinmas. And Joel George the Rogue says, I say to you, any man who does not start the Yuletide celebrations with Martinmas is not only missing out on one of the greatest feast days of the year, but also does not know how to have fun and is no friend of mine. And I can tell you now that starting in a place like this with a tradition that I'm about to recount, I think, is the best way to start Christmas. This celebration was considered the start of the winter celebrations. People would first start to feel the bite of the frost after saying goodnight to All Hallows Tide. The old animals, too old to give milk or young, were slaughtered at this time, and they were too expensive because they were too expensive to keep over the winter. Their flesh would be salted and preserved. No part of the beast went to waste. On Martinmas Eve, a great feast would be held with roast meats and many sweets and bait goods. Also, a great deal of drink would be consumed, including what they called early ale and early cider, the semi-fermented versions of the full-strength items. According to some accounts, the blood of those animals was slaughtered would be placed on the doorsteps to tell the devil to stay away, as there were nowhere and nothing to protect you at St. Martinmas. Now, of course, I don't condone, and I don't think we should be doing that now, but it's something to think about. And then we'd move to the 25th of November, St. Urian's Day. So who's St. Urian, you might ask? Well, there was a place called Wolverton that disappeared off the face of the earth, and that's a story for another day. But old George the Rogue says, some people doubt the story of Wolverton and say that it did not exist. I tell you this, it existed, and so did the church, and we should religiously celebrate this day. For those that don't, damn the restless dead to obscurity and forget the magical and holy waters that run under this sacred isle. And at the Feast of St. Urian's, those that were or still believe they are the remaining family members would go to what's now called St. Urian's Copse, of which St. Urian lends its name, not a centurion as in the Romans. They would descend upon the old village of Wolverton, meet in a now overgrown area, and they would prepare what would be the most unusual of feasts. They would catch squirrels and wrens and roast them with pig fat and eat a broth of salt. And they say that during the night you would hear the bells ring out 13 times, 12 for midnight and 13 for the dead that were lost their lives in Wolverton.
Do you know, I'm sat here with my legs crossed, gone back to Barton Primary School. Thoroughly fascinating, really, really fascinating. Are we going to take a break now and come back with a song that you was telling me about that was recorded especially for the day?
Yeah, it's called In White and Grey by the wonderfully talented William Wright, and we'll play it and we'll talk a little bit about it and some more traditions, because it's stunning. I think it's stunning, and it perfectly encompasses the dark nights of winter.
Okay, join us for part two after the break.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Vectis Radio.
www.vectisradio.com.
Imagine.
immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoiled countryside and woodland. So come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Island Environmental Hygiene are the only stockists on the island of oxygen-powered Vive air fresheners. Now, these are a lot more environmentally friendly than traditional aerosol air fresheners. They're the most environmentally friendly ones on the market and the only ones to be carbon footprint approved. They're hospital-grade and allergen-free, meaning they're suitable for areas used by asthmatics and people suffering from other allergies. Whilst they're great in washrooms, they can also be used in other areas, such as shops and offices too, as they come in a wide range of fragrances. So for more details, visit our website, islandhygiene.com, or telephone 721 943.
The Medina Theatre, your premier venue for art, music and comedy. Enjoy a great night out with the whole family on Sunday the 12th of January. Dance to the Music is a whirlwind journey through decades of fantastic dance styles and fashions. There's everything from the Charleston, rock and roll and disco to hip-hop, street dance and modern-day ballroom. Starring Jake Quickenden and Christina Rianoff, this is a show you won't want to miss. Call the box office on 823-884 or visit medinatheatre.co.
If you've experienced domestic abuse of any kind, help is out there. Starting in January 2020, the free Break the Cycle, Mind the Gap course is running again to rebuild your self-esteem and confidence to move you forward in your life. Women only course begins 7th of January at 10 a.m. and the men only course begins 9th of January at 6 p.m. both at the Riverside Centre, Newport. To book your place, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk or call 754 666.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Welcome back to part two. We've got the Paul Wilson in the studio, and we do know that Paul's mum is listening out there. any message, Paul?
Yeah, mum said, she actually just sent me another one. Hi, mum. She said, well done, son. Thank you, but why so bleak? I said, thanks, mum. Going into part two shortly. Love you. And she said, okay, I think old George the Rogue would be proud of you too. Thanks, Mum. I love you. Love you very much.
So I'm guessing, you know, when you think back, those times, the olden day times, they would have been a bit bleak, even though it was Christmas, because it would have been cold, it would have been damp, it would have been... We wouldn't have been celebrating in a way that we're celebrating today. Like, we throw money at everything.
Yeah, well, we didn't have electricity, we didn't have any of that sort of stuff, and we didn't have money to throw. Even those that did have money would try not to throw it about. And it was part of the whole vibe as well, because you can't have redemption without some bleakness behind. You need to have that struggle behind. And the lead up to Christmas is all about leading into this redemption. And, you know, if you take Christmas at face value and you talk about Jesus Christ being born for the redemption of humanity, but... you have that, but you also have the other celebrations, you know, the earlier pagan celebrations, which were all about the renewal of life and the redemption of the year. I mean, you had Saturnalia going on, you had the whole Yuletide. So this part of the year is, in the Northern Hemisphere anyway, it's very much about getting through those struggles and looking forward to the future. And you can't have that if it's all rosy and happy in the lead up to Christmas, can you? I kind of feel like it cheapens a little bit, maybe. I mean, that's my opinion. Other people differ, but that's really traditionally that's what people felt, and it was about getting to that point. And to get to that point, you need to you need to have the struggles. You need to see the bright light at the end, because if the bright light is drowned out by all the lights that are around you, you'll never find it, will you?
No, that's true. It's true. I know we've got Connor in the studio as well. I don't know whether he's got questions yet, Connor.
Not yet. I'm still thinking of some.
Should we just sort of sit down and cross our legs and watch a story?
This chair is a bit awkward for me to cross my legs, but I'll
try. This is what we used to have done.
Sit on the floor. Can't reach the mic.
You don't need to if you're hearing a story. And we would have sat down on a stony floor and by the fire, and somebody would have been telling us stories. We'd have probably been roasting our chestnuts as well.
Yeah. I don't know if you'd be roasting your chestnuts on a stone floor, would you?
Well, no, you'd have been freezing them on a stone floor. But I mean, I'm hoping that you'd be in the fire. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Right, it's too late now.
Bit of humour, mum. Bit of fun. We lightened it up a little bit.
My phone just buzzed again. I think she's probably sent me another message telling me off. So I just want to talk a little bit about this song, In White and Grey, that was written by the incomparable William White, who is a pure alchemist. I spoke to him last week, and I said, you know, I've got this radio slot coming up. Would you be able to write something for me? Would you like to? And of course, he jumped on it. He's just an amazing composer, and I think he was quite busy. And I contacted him on Tuesday, and I said, oh, you know, it's okay if you don't have a chance to. And he said, oh no, don't worry, it'll be there for you tomorrow. He sat down and he wrote it for me in one night, and he based this on some of my writings and his own experience there with the snow falling around him where he is, and just wrote this beautifully haunting melody and song. And as soon as I heard it, I just thought, oh, that's fantastic. Blew me away and took my breath away with the whole thing. So, and I know William's listening, and he's over in the US. So we've got my mum in Australia listening. We've got people in the US. We've got people all around the country listening who've contributed. So I'd like to skip a little ahead, a bit further ahead here, and we're going to do a little story. This one is called Thomas the Farmer. Thomas was walking home on Christmas Eve. He'd spent the day in the fields tending to his sheep and checking to ensure everything was squared away before the Yuletide celebrations started in earnest the next day. The sun was just starting to set, and he was walking. And as he walked, he noticed the tiniest flakes of snow were beginning to fall. He picked up the pace as he walked down the laneway towards his home when he saw a hooded man standing by a tree. As Thomas grew closer, he noticed that the man was turned to greet him. "Hello, Thomas. Walking home, I see," said the hooded man in a low voice. "Evening. How do?" replied Thomas in his disjointed way. "Quiet man." Not bothering to find out why this stranger knew his name, because in this part of the world, on the island, everyone knew his name. "Walking home?" asked the hooded man again. "You'd be right there, fella." Thomas paused and then said, "You're not from around here, are you?" The hooded man replied, "I am, and I'm not." He then held out his hand and took Thomas's. "Do you mind if I walk with you?" Thomas took the man's hand. He felt a slight chill as the wind flew past his neck, and he shivered. After a second or two, he smiled at his new friend and cheerfully walked down the road chatting. "Snow's definitely coming in. We should hurry up." "Where are you off to, if you don't mind me asking?" The man in the hood said nothing for a moment and then replied, "I have a long way to go and a lot of places to be tonight. I don't feel like rushing. Not on this night." "Not got anyone waiting for you?" Thomas inquired. "No, not really. It's a lonely night it's a lonely time of the year for a traveller like me. Most people wouldn't take the time to speak to me, to be honest," replied the hooded man with a sigh. Hardly believing his ears, Thomas said, "Well, that's not right. Why not come over to ours? We have something hot before you and, you know, you can hit the road again. No one deserves to be alone on Christmas Eve." The hooded man stopped for a moment, raised his hand and put it down again. "Your kindness is touching, Thomas, but I don't think I'm the sort of person you want in your home." "On Christmas Eve, charity is king," Thomas said. For a moment, he then added, "You're not wanted by the law, is you?" The hooded man chuckled. "No, nothing like that." The two men walked on for some time in silence as the night grew darker and time went for what seemed to Thomas a very long time, and it still got darker more. Strangely, the flurries of snowflakes blew around them in swirling patterns, but would then hit the ground and promptly evaporate into nothing. They found themselves walking from the laneway onto a far more open path. The night was drawing in and the snow filled the air, and it changed to something more thick. A strange mist had started to roll in, and its icy grip started to pinch at Thomas's cheeks. The hooded man trudged on beside Thomas, not saying anything, just looking at the ground. Thomas thought, "This man is only just met. He must be lonely, and there's something weighing upon him. Maybe it was regret." However, he thought it prudent not to ask. A man will always have his secrets. Thomas led the way through the darkness. It was funny how this weird mist, everything looked strange and unfamiliar. but also he knew exactly where he was going. His new companions seemed to be happy to follow Thomas wherever he went, and he just was grateful for the company. Thomas broke the silence. "Now, I know you ain't told me your name, and I'm not one for sticking my nose into other people's business, but it occurs to me that we're friends now, and you know mine, so..." "I guess we are friends now. I can safely say it's been a long time since I've been able to call another person my friend," the hooded man replied. And then after thinking for a moment said, "Call me Ray." "All right, Ray. Have you been travelling long?" asked Thomas. "All my life. There's never been a time that I haven't been travelling. The places I've seen, the people I've met, and all of them but drops in the ocean when compared to how far I have to go," sighed Ray. Thomas nodded and wistfully replied, "I see what you're getting at. It's a hard life, the life of a traveller, isn't it? Are you sure you can't be interested in a little bit of supper?" "No, thank you, Thomas. I fear that soon we will be parting ways." Ray placed his hand on Thomas's shoulder. After some time, Ray asked, "Do you have any regrets?"
"Me? Nah," Thomas laughed. "Look at me. I'm king of my own little world. I have the farm, I have my wife and children. And now they are off with their own children. I taught them to be good and decent people, and now they will do the same. And tonight, well, look, I have pleasant company to speak with as we walk this long old path home."
Ray thought about his answer for a moment and asked, "But don't you wish you could be somewhere else or someone else? Rich, maybe? An easier life? Did you not make decisions in your life that brought you here? And you could have been over there." Ray pointed over into the misty darkness. "No, my friend. What's done is done. Can't be changed. Why live in the past when the future is yet to come?" smiled Thomas. The fog was very thick now, and Thomas could almost taste the dampness in the air. The tug of the road ahead was strong, and he longed to follow it. But something was not right. He stopped and looked around, his mind a little fuzzy. A clarity starts to come to Thomas, though, and he noticed they had been walking for an awfully long time. In fact, he wasn't sure for how long or for how far.
"Where are we, Ray?"
"I'm sorry, Thomas. I should have told you earlier. But you're so kind, and I always enjoy, and I'm really enjoying your company. I didn't want it to end."
"Who are you, Ray? How do you know me? Why don't I know this place?"
The man in the hood stood for a moment and simply said, "Don't you recognize me, Thomas? You've seen me before. Everyone has seen me before. You have felt my breath when I've come for others. Those moments of cold as chill will rise up in your backbone. You know me as death. But when you took my hand back at that tree, together, we have walked the long road to Shell. And the journey has brought me a friend." As the mist started to engulf Thomas, to take him to the next place, Death found himself shedding a tear. From that night on, he vowed to show the kindness to all, as Thomas had shown him on that very Christmas Eve. He would try to make at least one new friend. And that's the story.
Whoa.
Thomas the Farmer.
Whoa, that was a story enough. I didn't know. I knew something was coming, but I wasn't sure of how that was going to end. That was really quite gripping. I was sort of thinking this. I mean, I know it's lunchtime and I know it's a bleak day and so on and so forth, but these stories would sound great. Lights off at night and so on. I'm just picturing the scene. Can you picture that, Connor?
Yeah. Good stuff.
Hey, look, we've got a lot to squeeze in. Should we play this song and come back and chat some more?
Let's stick that song on and we'll crack on.
Okay, what's the... Go on, introduce the song.
It's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
No, not you.
Oh, sorry. It's by the incomparable...
I do apologise about that.
That's fine. It's by the incomparable Roberta Fedora from the island. She recorded this last year. I have to say, when my son heard it, he hated it. So I know it's going to be lovely. So and she knows.
All right.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. It may be the last. Next year we may all be living in the past. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide.
Version before, but what an amazing voice. Tell us about the song, Paul.
I just think it's one of those stories that it was stories like a stories in the brain, one of those songs that people tend not to listen to the lyrics from, and it just resonates because it's talking about the here and the now, and it's talking about enjoying this beautiful moment now with our family and our loved ones and friends. Because we don't know what's happening next year. We don't know whether we're actually going to even be here next year. So we jump in and enjoy Christmas for what it is today and what we make it. And we make it with our friends and loved ones. And, you know, I always say celebrate Christmas the way you want to celebrate it. Bring the joy that you want to bring. Which brings me to my last little poem before we wrap up. And it's... It's called This Is Christmas Too. Silent nights and hazy days, wind-burnt cheeks that glow bright pink, open fires with an earthy smell of smoke, rushing from door to door and to outrun the frost, children's eyes so wide and full, adults pretending they're not excited still. Mother shows the lights to babe, Father smiles and runs by. This is Christmas to me. The bustling people are trying to buy, spending their money that they hardly have. You don't want that. It's rubbish, she says. But I do. Please, 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 he says. Everything aglow sparkle. Toys that flash and do little else, all sleigh and sleight of hand and badly made. This is not Christmas to me. I try not to judge, because we're all different. We all have our priorities. Sometimes I just sit and watch. That's what Christmas is to me.
Wow. You've got to come back at some point. I've really enjoyed your company this lunchtime.
I've enjoyed being here. Thank you for having me.
Promise me you'll come back.
I promise.
He's promising, Mum. So, look, thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being a wonderful guest. And you will hear more from the Paul Wilson on Vectis Radio in 2020. Thank you. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And thank you for being there, Connor.